Okay, well, I'm happy to be here. A wonderful day, sunny, polluted with fireworks air, but so it goes. That's why we have Buddhism. It's all about suffering and the end of suffering. So today I'm going to talk about stuff. And I know you all have stuff. And you may wonder why you have stuff. And you may wonder why you have so much stuff. And you may wonder how to get rid of your stuff. So I'm going to go into 20 minutes of all of that. Number one, we are born. We have sense doors: eye, ear, nose, tongue, taste, touch. And we have a desire and a craving. When we see beautiful, happy, pleasant-sounding things, we want more. When we have exactly the opposite, we want less. That begins our wanting. And we keep wanting ever more because our sense doors start to mature. And the mind in Buddhism is one of our sense doors, and it starts to mature as well. And for some reason, a few months into our life, we have self. We have ego. We have personality that just arises because of the evolutionary process of humankind. And speaking of humankind, humankind, be both. Thank you. So we mature and we get really good at wanting, and then we get to the place of getting. And there's no end to getting. Getting one thing leads to wanting two things. Getting two things leads to wanting three things. And we continue wanting and getting and accumulating. And when you get to be 20 or 30 or 40 years old, you have all the stuff which may necessitate you getting a bigger house so you can put the excess stuff in there, or getting another garage, or public storage. Have you seen how many public storage places there are in Los Angeles? I bet they're all doing business too. And isn't that the oddest thing? My sister had public storage for over 10 years. She hadn't seen any of the stuff in public storage for 10 years. And when she moved from state to state, she moved from one public storage to the next public storage. And why? Because of mind, because of attachment, because of desire. When she finally moved to Phoenix, Arizona, a couple years ago, she decided to get rid of all the stuff that was in public storage. She sold some of it. She gave most of it away. And she threw the rest away after 10 years of paying for public storage. But her mind was attached to the idea of having that stuff. She couldn't let it go. She didn't know how to let it go until finally, out of desperation, she opened up the doors and just got rid of it. And one day we're going to have to get rid of our stuff too, whether we like it or not. Because we're going to realize renunciation has a place in our life. And let me go into detail now about why we are attached to our stuff. Because our stuff has a story connected to it. Every little thing you have right now, there's a story behind it. And if there wasn't a story behind it, you wouldn't have it. Think of that screwdriver, that Phillips screwdriver you saw on the street, abandoned. And you thought to yourself, one day I could use that screwdriver. You picked it up and put it in your pocket. And then you took it home and put it on the dresser. And there it sat for 2, 3, 4 years. And why did it just sit there for 2, 3, or 4 years and not use it? Because you had the story. I found it, and one day I will use it. If you get rid of the story, you can get rid of the screwdriver. Princess Di had a dress go on auction just a month or so ago. $200,000. Amazing. The woman was so excited, she jumped up after spending $200,000 on this dress and knelt on the ground and seemed to pray to the merchandise gods. Thank you. I wanted this so badly. And you know, every time she shows this dress, she's going to tell you the story. This was owned by Princess Di. This isn't just a $40 dress. This is Princess Di's dress, with all the emotions and feelings that she put into Princess Di in her mind, having never met Princess Di. It was all fabricated from social media and books and ideas and people talking. That's Princess Di's dress. Of course it's worth $200,000. And you might think to yourself, you know what? Some people just have too much money. There you go. So what are we going to do with our stuff? What are we going to do when it's time for us to say, sayonara, I'm checking out and moving into the next lifetime? Who's going to get your stuff? Going to sell it? Going to let your relatives give it away? Going to put it in public storage until you come back in your rebirth? What are you going to do? Well, my grandfather, good man, public education his whole life, he went from a two-story house to a one-story house. Why? Because he got old. You don't want stairs. You want just one level. Then he moved from the one-story house to assisted living. And he took three things with him. From both those houses, he took three things with him. He took a chair and a desk and a lamp. Those were his possessions at the end of his life. There were stories connected to all those things. And my mother, his daughter, said, I want that chair, desk, and lamp, because they used to be my father's desk, chair, and lamp. She wanted the story. She never used the stuff, but she wanted the story. Okay. And I know if you have a nice car, like Nam has a Honda. Nam bought the car because there were stories connected to it. It's a Honda. It runs forever. No maintenance. Look how shiny it is. Those tires look great. He didn't buy a car. He bought a Honda. He bought the story. We're all buying the story. So how do we get rid of stuff? If everything has a story, how do we get rid of it? Do we just sort of forget everything? Is that the idea? Well, in a way, but let's look at what Buddhists would do in letting go of the stuff they're attached to. Number one, you got to meditate. No surprise there. Everything a Buddhist does has something to do with meditation. So you sit down and meditate. And one of the best ways I have found to meditate is to meditate on the sensation of breath. And you're sitting there and you bring your attention to the tip of your nose and you feel the sensation. And you sit there for a while, but that mind of yours has a mind of its own. And it's so boring for the mind just to be with the sensation of breath, it starts thinking past and future and all the stories that it has connected to over the years. So you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to get a tether. I'm going to count. I'm going to use each breath as a number. I'm going to count 1, 2, up to 10, down to 1, up to 10, down to 1. Not as boring as not counting, but not really exciting either. So the mind will interrupt your counting and think about something. And at that point, what you do is you become aware of the thinking and not the counting, and you bring your mind back to the counting. And then you're there for 2 or 3 minutes, and then there's another thought that comes. It's the 4th of July. I want a hot dog. Thinking. We bring the mind back to the sensation of breath. We hold it there. The gong rings. Your meditation is over. Now you can think about anything you want. Okay. So what did we learn? We learned that it's very difficult for the mind to only do one thing. It likes to multitask. It likes a variety of challenges. And simply counting the breath doesn't keep it entertained very long. But we learn something about this. We learn to become aware of our thinking. And when we're not thinking and focusing on the sensation of breath, we're not meditating. Somebody once asked, how do you know if someone is a good meditator? And the answer is, they meditate. That's it. So now we become aware of the thinking process and the attachment and the stories, and we can use that as a vehicle to let go of our stuff. Okay, so now let's talk about wanting. You're in the mall. Some people still go to a mall. You go past the shoe store. There's a pair of red mid-heel patent shoes on sale, $34.99. And the mind says, I want that. And then the meditator mind goes, thinking. It doesn't exist in the way you think it does. And if you buy it, you'll only be happy and satisfied for a very short period of time. And then you'll want something else. And that's how you start accumulating all the stuff that you really wanted and never use again. Okay, now you're working on it. And you go to another mall and you see this or you see that. And you go thinking. The mind, desire, attachment, it's working against me. I meditate. I come back to my breath just for a few moments to let all those sensations and thoughts go. And I continue through them all. Okay, so that's how you sort of practice, one way to practice. Now you go to your apartment, your house, or your room, and you look around and you say, why do I still have that t-shirt with all the holes in it? I bought it 12 years ago. I have 34 other t-shirts I could wear, but I love that t-shirt. Why do I love that t-shirt? Because I've got 12 stories associated with that t-shirt. Thinking. The meditator says, breath in, out, as you pick up the t-shirt and take it to the trash and let it go. Okay, one down and 4,600 and other things to let go. You're getting it now. And so you start looking around and see all the stuff, but now, rather than seeing the stuff, you're seeing the stories. And you say to yourself, you know what? I don't want to be that anymore. If I have that in my life, I have to be that. But if I decide I don't need to have that in my life and I let it go, it gives me a certain sense of freedom. It gives me the ability to be someone else. Now, back in the 1980s, I was a proud member of the National Rifle Association. I had guns. I loved guns. They were wonderful. They made noise. They were shiny. People were impressed when you showed it to them. But then I found Buddhism. And I realized that I probably wouldn't be a really good Buddhist if I had a lot of guns and was a member of the National Rifle Association. So I canceled my subscription. I sold all my guns and I became gunless. I became a new person. Now, rather than somebody walking through the front door, and I reach for the gun. Now if somebody walks through the front door, I run out the back door. That's being a different person. You might have a Mercedes. I had somebody offer me a really nice car. Kusler, would you like to have this car? It's really nice. I said, yeah, I can tell it's really nice. No, I don't want it. I don't think a monk should have a really nice car. I think a monk should just have a car. And even that is problematic because they say, why do you have a car? Well, I got to go to Studio City and give a talk. They don't have any buses that go there from where I live. I need the transportation. I'm not attached to it. I only wash my car if it rains, and the rain does the washing. Perfect. If you saw my car, it's never clean. It's a little messy, but it is always the last one to be stolen out of the parking lot. So what we see is that we can let go of some of the stuff we're really attached to by letting go of the stories. We can let go of our attachment to really pretty and nice things, realizing that it is in a constant state of a permanence, always changing, and there is no one, not a self, no self there to own it. Do you own anything you have right now? Well, back in the 70s, I had my first new car, an Opel Manta, flag blue, with a cassette stereo right in the dashboard. And I had those little cassette tapes and I put one in and I thought, you know what? Life doesn't get better than this. I got my cassette stereo recorder blasting on the window. And then one morning I went to go to work and somebody had broken the window and stolen my cassette radio right out of the dashboard. Oh, was I angry. I yelled at my car, who owns you, car? Who owns you? Who's making the payments? Who's paying for your insurance? Who owns you, car? And I listened carefully, and my car said nothing in return. All I heard was profound silence. And then I got into my apartment and looked in the mirror, and I said, who owns you? Who owns you? And I realized that I didn't even own myself. Because if I owned me, I wouldn't look like that. But I had no choice. The idea of ownership is an illusion. It's propagated by our society. It has made us consumers and not citizens, and it's good for the economy. And we're all participating, and some of us don't even know we are. Do you want to be free? First, we got to be free from the stuff. The stuff you keep, you use, but aren't attached to. The stuff you don't keep, you give away or sell. And then, with enough meditation and enough dharma, you can let go of self as well. You can come to that place where you are interconnected and interdependent. And cannot stand alone, cannot be independent. You are no longer who you thought you were. And that might be called enlightenment. That might be called getting a cold. That might be called having a bad day or a good day, depending on how you look at it. And that's a pretty difficult place to live. Because if you're driving too fast on the freeway and they pull you over, and say, I want to see your driver's license, and you hand it to them, and then you say, that's not really me, I'm nothing. Well, they might take you for observation. So we have to be something, we have to be connected, we have to be attached to stuff, you know, like our life. So we have water and food and shelter and clothing. We need that kind of attachment, but it's really gone so far away from that we're attached to, you know, have you seen some of the toys that people are buying for 40, 50, 60 bucks attached to that? And you go, why would they buy that? What does that mean? There's the story in there. And it's the story that sells it. It might be on the internet, it might be on TV, it might be on a video, but the story is in there and I gotta have that for 40 bucks. So attachment goes everywhere. And some of the attachments is good. I'm attached to drinking water every day. That's a good thing. You know, I'm attached to drinking vodka every day. That's a bad thing. And we have to sort of decide, okay, do I want to be skillful in my attachments, or will I let the attachments own me? Do I want to be free? And it's not free from the attachments, it's do I want to be free from suffering? Okay, I see by the clock on the wall, it's almost 12 o'clock. And I know everybody is attached to 12 o'clock because 12 o'clock means lunch. We're all attached to lunch and isn't life wonderful? So I'm going to stop speaking now and turn it over to Reverend Kushanti.